On this Friday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agribal and Nutrient Ag Solutions. Hey, good afternoon to you, Eric.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Fall's arrived. It's cold and wet, but I think the guys up north have known that for a while. Can you tell me about this recent pattern we've been in?
Well, if someone's listening and they've spent the last couple of weeks in central Illinois, you know, and not been watching the weather very much, you know, we wouldn't know how cool things had been and just a little bit to our north and west, because we've been tucked away into this subtropical ridge that's been sitting over parts of the southeastern United States. And because of that, much of the activity has been to our west and north in terms of precipitation and cooler weather. And they've not been accumulating much heat at all, while, you know, right here in central Illinois, we had days in the 90s this past week. So it's been a split situation. And the good thing is that pattern is changing, but it's changing in a way that's going to be quite active. In other words, it's not just going to go over to some benign, boring flow pattern. You know, the ridge is breaking down over the southeast in the near term. They're going to get some rain. And by the way, there are some places in the Mid-South, so Tennessee, Kentucky, then getting over to Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, that have not seen rain in 40 days. And they're going to finally get some rain in there. But that changeover in the pattern does mean some changes for us as well. So there's a lot of exciting weather coming up in the near term.
What do we see for this weekend for us?
Well, there's a low pressure system that's getting going in the Northwest right now. And the good news about that one is that its trajectory is still going to stay closer to the U.S.-Canadian border rather than dipping down into the central plains. And so with storm systems that run like that, we tend to stay, of course, on the warmer side of them, but we will have to be dealing with some rain. It'll move into the Midwest on Saturday and sweep through us Saturday night into Sunday is what the current trajectory is of this. And it'll be a rain event, pretty widely scattered. It's not going to be a heavy precipitation producer, at least that's forecast right now. But it's what follows that's got me quite concerned. And so what we're paying close attention to is sweeping out of like British Columbia midweek next week, a trough dives down to the northwest, and then it continues to dig. In other words, it keeps going farther south. And as it does that, by the time we get to, well, our phone call next Friday, we're going to be seeing something a little bit different. We're going to have to watch next Thursday and Friday for this low pressure system to get cranking in the mid part of the country. Now, there was a lot of model disagreement about this one, but things have been coming together today on Friday, and we've started to see that potential for a low pressure system in the midsection of the country, such that not only be very windy and very wet out ahead of it, but on the backside, we might be talking about some high plains snow. And of course, as it finally exits the Great Lakes states, we will get into a frost situation that could possibly come through the Dakotas, Nebraska, Minnesota, and it looks like Iowa as well. Don't see those frost coming all the way through central Illinois by next Friday, Saturday morning. But the potential is there for a pretty significant cool down behind the system. But a frost next Friday would be actually right on time for us. So that's not too far away. But given the late planted crop, it's a pretty serious situation.
So are we talking about a killing type freeze where we're 28 for a while?
It could be for parts of the northern plains and parts even of Iowa and Minnesota. Some of the latest model runs right now do bring temperatures down into the upper 20s for a brief while. What will really make that happen is if they can clear out fast and let the winds calm down. If it stays windy and cloudy, the chances of this happening where there's a killing freeze is pretty low. So we'll have to watch all next week to see what kind of weather we get behind this system. That will be critical for those folks.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what the bigger picture looks like. I know the westerlies drive us sometimes. Is there anything out in the Pacific that we need to be looking at?
Yeah, we're kind of all getting fooled right now thinking that the Pacific Ocean's behaving like an El Nino, but it turns out what's going on is that the Indian Ocean is really driving much of our climate dynamics right now. What I mean by that is over the Indian Ocean, there's very cool water that is north of Australia and Indonesia. And over by Africa, on the other side of the Indian Ocean, it's quite warm. This is the positive phase of something called the Indian Ocean Dipole. Now, what's the significance of all that? Well, that's driving the strong wind out of the east across the Indian Ocean, and therefore there's a strong westerly wind in the central Pacific. And the reason to discuss all of this is because as long as that pattern hangs on and it's forecast to stick around for a while, we might continue to get the wash, rinse, repeat of what we've seen here in the United States. It is also affecting something called the Mount-Julian Oscillation, and that's impacting South America's weather right now too. So you want to blame somebody on the weather we've been experiencing? I think a lot of it is coming out of the Indian Ocean right now, which is kind of crazy to talk about.
So what does it mean for South America?
Well, you know, they've had this drought that's been in place. It's been both in Brazil's major growing areas and as well as Argentina's. And as a result of that, they've been waiting for the monsoon to get going and to bring in some much-needed precipitation. While I do see, you know, rains, you know, they've had it recently. They still need more to get going. But the rains are primarily in the northern and western side of Brazil, so the eastern side. So think Goiás, Bahia, the Tocantins, that area not getting much rain at all in the near term. Southern Brazil, Paraná, Rio Grande do Sul, we're going to be seeing a bit more precipitation on there. But Argentina is quite dry right now as well. I think the big difference for Brazil versus the United States is that they can spread their planting out over such a long time period that these intermittent issues at the beginning may not translate into problems. What we really need to watch out for is any signals coming up in January and February about dryness, because that could really do in first crop soybeans and any first crop corn that they plant.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions.